Good Weekend Talks is a new podcast from the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
It's a deep dive, once a week, into Australia's definitive stories.
I'm Good Weekend editor, Katrina Strickland.
And I'm Good Weekend senior writer, Conrad Marshall.
On Good Weekend Talks,
we take a long-form look at the people,
places and issues
that matter to you.
Devour the issue in depth.
And learn the backstory and craft behind some of Good Weekend's most popular pieces.
Find out how Mullumbimby became ground zero for the anti-vaxxer movement in Australia.
Meet Helen O'Connell, the Melbourne urologist who mapped the clitoris.
Explore the complicated and highly vexed issue of concussion in sport.
And take a look inside Scott Morrison's Pentecostal church.
It's your favourite magazine, brought to life for your ears, your heart and your soul.
Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it's Monday, March 23. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia had recorded 1,609 cases and 7 people have died. I'm now joined by Deputy Federal Bureau Chief Stephanie Peatling. So Steph, can you tell us what's going on?
Isn't it confusing? I think there was a clear move over the weekend that the states wanted the federal government to take stronger action, and the states were under siege, probably from parents more than anyone, I would say, as well as anxious teachers, to lock schools down, to keep students away. There's obviously been a lot of concerns from the federal government about the economic impact of that, but also their consistent health advice that said it was fine for children to go to school. And in fact, I still find that one of the confusing messages today. You know, please keep your children at home, however it is safe for them to attend. You can just see why people are feeling so anxious and confused when the messages that are coming from the government are really not clear.
Is this bringing forward of the Victorian holidays, then Gladys keeping schools open but begging people not to use them? Is this all designed to be able to say that the National Cabinet is in full agreement, when clearly the National Cabinet and Premiers hold very different views about this matter?
Oh, yes, I think for sure. They're trying to have a bob each way, really, aren't they? They all want to have their own position enacted in their state or at the federal level, but they all want to say at the same time that we are all doing pretty much the same thing, even though it's clear to anyone who is watching from the outside that they all have very different views on this.
Let's talk about the other measures, which was social distancing. Pubs, clubs, restaurants closing. The Prime Minister was very focused on that social contact area. He said you don't go into Bunnings and hang out in a big group chatting, but you do go to a pub and hang out. It's interesting that the leaders are united on this, that basically young people are ignoring the instructions.
Yes, absolutely. And I think everyone would be familiar with that photo of Bondi Beach that was taken on Friday, which showed, you know, thousands of people cramming into that space, you know, pretty much, well, completely flagrantly ignoring the social distancing recommendations that have been in place. And I wonder if that photo really spurred some of the more, the state leaders who wanted tougher action, spurred them into action to say, this is what needs to happen. The general population is clearly not paying attention to these rules and we need to take tough action. The one thing I would say about the Prime Minister last night, though, although I agree with you, Tori, that he was clear about the rules for business and so on, is I think that was rough on a lot of businesses to hold a press conference at 9:30 at night and expect business owners to then be able to shut, you know, 15 hours later, plus tell their employees they no longer had jobs and so on and so forth, I think is unfair on them. They were clearly headed in that direction for a couple of days. If that was the position they were going to announce, I think they should have come out earlier on that front, just to give those business owners a bit more time to get themselves organised.
So as we're recording, I'm scrolling through an analysis from David Crowe about how Australians really deserve better than this split in the National Cabinet. There were tensions during the bushfires as well between the states and feds, tension that even spilt over into quite senior ministers, mostly in New South Wales, having a public crack at Scott Morrison. Is this repairable, or have we now reached the point where the states will just go it alone?
Well, I would hope that that's not the case. I think that Australians deserve better than that, and they will need better than that. This is you know, we all thought the bushfire crisis was a crisis of huge proportions, and now we're facing something of a magnitude that is, you know, far greater than any of us could ever have foreseen. They need to get their messages straight. They need to all be on the same page about what they want. It's been clear for probably a month or so that the states wanted tougher action faster, and for whatever reason, the federal government did not want to do that. But they need to all sort out what they want to do and make sure that they are clear and on the same page, because the kind of confusion that we're seeing about school closures, for example, is only going to keep going. You know, this is not a permanent, well, it's not an ongoing solution. It's a solution for a few weeks. People will be starting to ask, you know, in a fortnight or so, where do we go from here? Already we can see Dan Andrews, the Victorian Premier, this morning calling for, you know, stage two of business closures and tougher restrictions on people meeting and so on. It appears that they still haven't learnt their lesson. They're still saying different things.
Parliament is sitting in Canberra today. What does that look like?
It looks very, very strange, Tori, I have to say. There's a small number of politicians in Canberra with their staff. Those that are in the chamber are being very strict about observing social distancing rules. Some might make jokes about how people from one party or another don't like to stand near each other at the best of times, but this is for actual medical reasons. They're sanitising their hands on the way in and out of the chamber. The press gallery itself is not in operation because it's an open air type situation. If you're in the press gallery, there's no distance between you and the people on the floor. It's just open air. We're now being asked to sit in one of the glassed-in areas that's normally used for school students. The chairs are 1.5 metres apart. Normally the building, you know, the public areas of the building would be bustling with school children on groups, with tourists, or just even the, you know, the thousands of people that come there to work each day in terms of staffers and support staff. They're now not there. It's a very quiet and different place, and the mood is very sombre.
And is it only sitting today, or are they going to be coming back tomorrow?
I believe it will be done by the end of today, yes. The opposition has said that it will pass the stimulus package today. It's got some concerns about it, but they're not going to stand in the way of passing this important legislation.
So let's talk about the stimulus package, Steph. After yesterday's further announcements, the total is now $189 billion, which is almost 10% of the total federal budget. Is there more to come, Steph?
Yes, we believe there will be another package. In fact, there'll probably be more than another package. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg have both said today that they will have more measures to be announced as the weeks go on. I think the first area that they're going to look at is what should happen with people who are in rental accommodation, what assistance they can give those. They've obviously been putting out the message so far that landlords need to treat people who are out of work with compassion and either lower their rents or waive them in some cases, but I believe they'll be looking at mandatory measures as their next step.
And where is all of this money going? What is the strategy here?
Well, basically, it's to keep businesses on their feet for as long as they possibly can. Although the government is obviously considering the health implications of this for the population, it's also looking longer term at what happens when the number of cases peak and then fall again, as they will inevitably over the next 6 or 9 months. Their end game here is making sure that the economy is not hit as badly as it could be. You know, things are going to be tough. There's no doubt about that. There'll be a lot of people out of work. There'll be a lot of people without businesses, but they are trying to lessen the impact of that as much as they can. And that's where these measures are going. They're going to business owners, small and medium enterprise owners, to try and keep them going, to keep them hiring staff and paying those people.
The news alert that I got just before we came in to record was that the Centrelink website had crashed because so many people trying to access some of these welfare measures. The magnitude of what the government is trying to deal with here is just unfathomable, isn't it?
Look, yeah, and here I would I'd just interject a bit of comment, I suppose. I really do think that it's a time for people to leave their opinions about parties and leaders aside and cut the government a little bit of slack. I know that's a bit of a weird thing to say, but the magnitude of the problem they are dealing with is just astonishing and mind-bending in so many ways. You know, the situation is moving so rapidly. It's nothing that they would ever have planned for in their lifetimes or in their imaginations before. I genuinely believe they're taking the the advice of the experts and doing the absolute best that they can.
As we all are, Steph.
That's right.
Thanks for joining me again on Please Explain.
Thanks, Tori.
The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis fairly, factually and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.